From the KTOO newsroom, I'm Claire Strimple with a quick look at your state and local news. The state reports 87 Juneau residents tested positive for COVID-19 over the last 3 days. One person is receiving treatment for an active COVID infection at Bartlett Regional Hospital. Juneau Public Health reports 225 active cases citywide. 80% of Juneau's eligible population is vaccinated. The youngest person with COVID-19 is one. The oldest is in their mid-90s. The Juneau School District reports only one case of COVID-19. That person was infectious while in school at Harborview Elementary. No classes are quarantined, and no one is in school this week due to Alaska Day, parent-teacher conferences, and staff in-service days. The state's health department reports 2,842 COVID cases over the last 4 days. Of those, 57 are non-residents. The state also reports 65 resident deaths and one non-resident death. Some of these deaths occurred as far back as April, but most of them occurred in September and October. Anyone who is 12 years old or older is eligible to get a COVID vaccine. In Juneau, call 907-586-6000 or go to juneau.org/vaccine to make an appointment. We have a correction to a Juneau election story that aired in this newscast yesterday. We misstated the Juneau Board of Election candidate who had the next most votes to Will Muldoon. It is Aaron Spratt. COVID-19 vaccine mandates are now in effect at the largest healthcare employers in Anchorage, despite warnings from mandate opponents that the policy would cause mass firings or resignations. It appears only a small percentage of staffers did not comply. Alaska Public Media's Liz Ruskin reports.
Providence, Alaska Human Resources Director Florian Borowski says 99.3% of its employees have met the requirements of the policy. Most of them did so by getting vaccinated, he says, and a smaller number by getting a religious or medical exemption.
We're not really going into the specific details associated with how many are in each category, but we're really pleased with that level of compliance.
The mandate applies to 4,600 Providence employees. They work at the main hospital in Anchorage and also at Providence's long-term care and assisted living homes and healthcare facilities in Kodiak, Seward, and Valdez. Borowski did not break out the numbers for each workplace. Using the figures he supplied, about 30 Providence employees refused vaccination and did not have an approved exemption. Borowski says they've been put on unpaid leave.
The intention is to help them be able to get information so they can consider becoming compliant with our policy. If, unfortunately, they choose not to become compliant in the next 30 days, we'll be separating their employment.
At South Central Foundation, the mandate deadline was Friday. CEO April Kyle says that more than 96% of its 2,400 employees were fully vaccinated by late last week. Another 1% of employees got an exemption. South Central operates clinics that serve Alaska Native beneficiaries, and it co-manages the Alaska Native Medical Center. The other management partner at the hospital, the Alaska Native Tribal Health Consortium, says more than 98% of its 3,000 workers have complied, most by vaccination and about 40 by exemption. Nationwide, some 40% of hospitals now require their employees to be vaccinated, the American Hospital Association says. Nancy Foster, the association's vice president for patient safety, says mandates have cost some employees their jobs, but she says that loss of service is to some degree offset by the resilience of having a more vaccinated workforce.
When you get the vaccine and you are protected, you are less likely to have to take time off from work, either because you become ill or you've been exposed.
The other major hospital in Anchorage, Alaska Regional, does not have a vaccine requirement. But a federal vaccine mandate for virtually all hospital workers is coming soon. The rules are expected by the end of the month. It's not yet clear when the national mandate would take effect. For Alaska Public Media, I'm Liz Ruskin.
The fourth special session is half over, and while some House committees have met, none have in the Senate. Senators are split over Governor Mike Dunleavy's plans to change the dividend. and over how to pay for it. KTOO's Andrew Kitchenman reports.
Palmer Republican Senator Shelley Hughes is frustrated the Senate isn't meeting. She wants to start passing major bills now because she says it will be tough to do next year.
If we can get one or two moving, perhaps in January, the momentum would be there to continue, but I think it's going to be incredibly difficult in an election year.
Hughes says the amount of taxes needed to pay for the budget isn't clear. For example, in December, the state will update its forecast for how much oil revenue it expects in the future.
To do our proper job, we have to look at the revenue forecast, and we have to look at the growth of the permanent fund and how much larger that draw would be.
Hughes supports drawing an additional $1 billion this year and next year to balance the budget. It's balanced now, but at a much lower dividend level than that proposed by Dunleavy and supported by Hughes. Not all senators agree with Hughes's approach. There are two other groups of lawmakers in the legislature with their own ideas about how to balance the budget and fix the PFD. Another group of Republicans is also skeptical of substantial amounts of new taxes. But they point to current revenue forecasts that say the budget wouldn't balance with higher dividends and no major new taxes. Sitka Republican Senator Bert Stedman is in this group. He wants to protect $30 billion in permanent fund earnings that aren't currently protected in the Constitution. But he isn't eager to put the PFD in the Constitution, at least for now.
In my opinion, we should rewrite the formula and run it for a couple of years, see how it works. And if it looks like it's a stable concept that'll last for, you know, several decades, like the last formula, then we can talk about doing something like that at that time. But it's far too early to do that.
Stedman says the Finance Committee that he co-chairs will consider bills that would set the dividend formula at different levels. But he says that can happen during the next regular session in January. The third group of legislators, mostly Democrats, is more open to introducing new taxes as part of a package that would pay for larger dividends. Anchorage Democrat Tom Begich has reintroduced tax proposals that were considered by the legislature in the past, like increasing oil taxes. He acknowledges that larger taxes aren't popular, but says they're needed to reach an agreement.
That is what I'm kind of looking for from my colleagues, the willingness for them to see the bigger picture.
The taxes that Begich proposed would be enough to allow for the state to pay for dividends at an amount that's higher than in recent years, but lower than what Dunleavy has proposed. To pay for Dunleavy's proposed amount, Begich says a statewide tax like a sales tax would be needed. But he says the tax could be repealed if oil and permanent fund revenue grew enough. However, he says counting on higher oil prices would be irresponsible. He says a working group of legislators laid out how much money the state would need, as well as other assumptions like how much revenue the state would bring in. And he says it would be hard to reach a compromise if lawmakers stray from those assumptions.
It doesn't matter what the price of oil is today, because you have to base it on an agreed-upon consensus on those assumptions.
Senate President Peter Michicki is trying to sort out how to get the three groups to agree on a set of major policy changes, or at least the 11 senators needed to pass bills. He says from this point forward, each body should pass its own version of major changes and then work out compromises.
It's tough enough with 20 senators. It's nearly impossible with 60 legislators. So if you have the two statements or the two positions of a bill that passes, I think that's something much easier to work.
The Senate has only had enough members to hold a regular floor session once in the fourth special session. That happened on its first day. That would be needed again to pass Michicki's proposal for a formal new committee that has the power to pass bills. But a group of senators also could meet to work on a compromise that it would recommend to the others. In Juneau, I'm Andrew Kitchenman.
It's cloudy today with a high of around 43 degrees. Northwest wind at 20 to 25 miles per hour. Rain is predicted Wednesday, mostly in the afternoon and through the night. There's a 40% chance of rain on Thursday and rain is also likely through Friday night. That's all for your local and statewide news. For more headlines, you can visit us at ktoo.org.